Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 21 of Back in a Lifeboat, a podcast where we watch and recap every episode of the series Timeless. I'm Helen, and I'm here with my co-host Heather.
Hey guys.
And with a special guest, Bryna from Meet Us at Molly's. Hi, Bryna.
Hi guys. Thank you for having me back. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's always fun. You
Yeah.
come back anytime anyway, you know that.
I know. We've already discussed it, so
At length.
yeah.
And today we're covering season 2, episode 5, The Kennedy Curse. And as usual, we're going to do a quick episode overview and then we'll get into the thick of things. Still don't know how to say that without stumbling on it. It's fine. And then we'll go over overall thoughts and Heather's theories. We got an itty bitty tiny bit of news. I mean, not so itty bitty tiny. David Hoffman, who we talked to on the podcast before. Who was a writer on the show? He is up for Webbies, so it's a podcast award for the Who Killed JFK podcast, which is very appropriate for today. So please go and vote for his podcast. The link is on our socials, and the voting is until April 18th, so there's still a couple days to go after you did podcast. Other than that, the fact of the matter is no news. It's kind of hard to get news. Show that's over. So on the episode overview, the episode description on Rotten Tomatoes is Wyatt and Rufus are forced to bring a 17-year-old John F. Kennedy with them to the present. Kennedy escapes into modern-day San Francisco, and the team must rescue him and return him to the past before Rittenhouse assassinates him in 2018. This episode originally aired April 15th, 2018, which is fun because they mentioned that it's April 5th. So I
Yeah.
think they picked a random date that was probably around the time that it would be which show. Didn't quite get it right. And it was written by Lana Cho and directed by Holly Dale, which is a duo we've seen last season too. Forgot which one. But we see. All right, I guess it's time to get in back in the lifeboat. And we start in Wallingford, Connecticut on September 17th, 1934. And a teenager, Jack, is asked to go into one of his teacher's office. And I forgot that they called John Jack at the beginning. And I guess that was
Yeah.
their way of like, who is
Kind of
this
hiding who he was,
kid?
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even for the episode, it's like, who is this person?
Yeah, with the title of the episode, like, I feel like it's pretty well known he was probably, like, they called him Jack.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And so he's walking with a friend of his and he called him Lem. And so obviously I went to Google and Lem is actually Kirk LeMoyne Billings, who turned out to be like an American businessman, but he was a longtime friend of JFK. And they actually met in prep school.
Yeah, I
Like
know,
he
like when he was
was.
running for representative, a lot of his votes came from like connections he had with school friends and stuff like that through
Yeah, that's what they
that and
say. Like
Harvard.
he was a campaigner for his 1960 presidential bid. And actually, Joseph Kennedy Sr., I'm guessing, JFK's dad,
His dad.
called him my second son. So they were like really close. And they also like during that little thing they like John says, I'll see you tonight, like at the Muckers Club meeting. And turn that it's a group that he and his friend formed at school for like so-called troublemakers. And they played so many pranks that actually JFK was almost expelled because of it.
That's pretty
Oh,
funny.
that's funny. Yeah, it's great. I love that they included those little things in there.
Yeah.
But in the office, the teacher asks him to close the door and he pulls a gun on him. But our very own Flynn barges in and shoots him before he can kill Jack. So that's good. Like, Flynn isn't a lot in this episode, but that's what we're saying earlier. Like, he makes it count.
He makes his, like, 2 minutes of screen time worth it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, you know, anything Goran, you can just come in and smile, and that's enough to make it. We got to the present, and Gia is tending to Lucy, who apparently got really badly infected from 17th century germ from the cut she got last episode in Salem. And so the first thing she does when she wakes up is ask for Wyatt.
Because duh.
Yeah. And I love because Gia tells him he's on a mission with Flay, like right away. Wait, they went without me? You know, they should have waited. Like, she's so concerned. But yeah, so, you know, I love this scene because Gia, she tells him that Rufus told her about what happened in Hollywood, which, to be fair, he said he would. Like, we had zero illusions that he would keep that for himself, and he admitted it to Wyatt anyway. But I like, it's really sweet because she goes in like, there's no judgment, there's no even like opinion or advice. She's just like, hey, if you need an ear to talk to, like, I'm here, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, would be nice if Lucy actually talked, but no, I want him to be happy. I'll be fine. Sure. I'm not sure if she's trying to convince Gia or herself. It's not working.
Probably both, but you know.
Probably both. You're not fooling anyone. Especially not when you call Wyatt the first time you regain consciousness, you know? So she decides, because, you know, Lucy, she's been in bed for too long. She's probably not the kind of person to stay in bed for too long. She wants to go and get tea. And of course, who's in the kitchen? Jessica.
Yay. Yeah.
It
still seems like a bad idea.
It's, yeah.
To have her around.
It's the worst idea.
It's so awkward.
Yeah.
It's so, like, not even talking about, like, security risk or whatnot. It's so awkward.
Yeah.
And, like, Lucy, like, she sees her, she's like, whoop, nope, not go, no, no, no. Let's go back to the room, we'll have tea later, but no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jessica sees her, and she offers to make her tea, and they chat for a bit, and, you know, she seems nice enough for now.
Yeah.
No, to be like,
she's fine. It's just like one of those things where it's like, you just did all these things in Hollywood with this person's husband, whatever, you know, that weird dynamic of whatever you want to call them now. But it's like, and you can't leave, like, you literally can't escape her given the circumstances. So, like, it's always going to be awkward, even if Jessica's the nicest person ever.
Exactly.
Like, it's going to be awkward.
Yeah, and at this point, like, Jessica doesn't know that anything's happened between them.
No,
so,
give it, like, 45 minutes. She'll figure it out.
Exactly.
But, like,
yeah.
Well, not even. I think in half an hour.
Not maybe. Even. Yeah, that's more like 30 minutes. Give her 30 minutes and it'll be figured out. But, yeah.
Yeah, one couple of things that we do learn as far as backstories on this version of Jessica and Wyatt, anyway. They were high school sweethearts. And apparently they've been counseling for 2 years. It's a long time to be counseling.
Yeah, I think she mentioned that last episode, like, that they had been in it, but I don't think we knew that they'd been in it that long.
No,
basically the entire time that he'd been time traveling.
Yeah, like pretty much.
Maybe a year before too.
I think I think probably like slightly before. But yeah, thankfully the lifeboat comes back, so at least we're spared, like saved by the bell or the lifeboat, the alarm. But the lifeboat, they're back without Flynn, and Wyatt seems Heartbroken.
This is literally like probably one of my Oops, favorite scenes of the whole series. I love this scene so much.
Like, we're just like, it's fine, we'll get him back.
Yeah, he's like, we were gonna go back and pick him up. Like, I swear.
Okay, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he can just wait like a little bit though.
Yeah,
It'll be
it's
okay.
okay. It's okay. He's gonna have fun. I love, like, they basically just left him there, and he's like, and you know, by the way, if you can end up like killing everybody while we're gone, that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, he can take care of it. He's Flynn. He'll be
He's fine.
fine. He'll be fine.
Exactly. He's got a gun this time, so he's happy. He doesn't have to look for a musket or whatever. But the reason they don't have Flynn is because they have a special guest who's unconscious at the moment. And so they bring him to a room, and Lucy comes in, and instantly she recognizes him, and she's not thrilled. Because they brought back teenage JFK in the present.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Their plan is so simple to, you know, we're just gonna recharge the lifeboat, and then we'll bring him back. You know, maybe we'll get Flynn back in the meantime, because you know we're there, might as well. And that's it. That's simple. What could go wrong?
Well, my thing is like, what were they going to tell him to begin with?
I
Versus
feel
like,
like they
obviously by
thought
the end.
I feel like they thought he was gonna be unconscious the whole time, and that they wouldn't have had to like think about that. That they weren't
Tell him
like,
anything, yeah.
yeah, that he'd be asleep,
The
they
plan was
charged
there
it,
was
and
no
he'd still
plan.
be asleep. Yeah, there was no
Yeah.
plan, exactly.
Exactly. I mean,
Was this there ever a plan with Wyatt and Rufus?
nah,
No.
I just go for
No.
it. Lucy is the one who's like, okay, let's think about it for a
Yeah, and
second.
they didn't take Lucy, so.
Well, we see what
Yeah.
happens when they don't take Lucy. Turns out
Yeah.
she was right to be worried.
Yeah.
And so, of course, at this point, he wakes up and he freaks out, because who wouldn't? So they kind of make up the story where they tell him they're part of his security, and that the teacher was gonna try to kidnap him for ransom. And they're like, eh, don't worry, we talked to your dad, everything's fine. Take a nap, we'll take you home later. But then, yeah, that's the thing, also. Yeah, once you take him home, like, how do you put him in the lifeboat without him seeing the lifeboat?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there was
They
no plan.
didn't think any of it through, but it's
Nope.
fine. No. Well, the last time they went on a field trip by themselves didn't go well either. So
True. It
they're
never
0 for
goes
2.
well. True. Lesson of the week, always take Lucy with
Well,
you.
I guess when they went back to get Lucy, they did get Lucy. So they're 1 for 3.
Yeah, but technically, then Lucy was there, and she's actually, yeah. But, you know, does it count?
It was just like a lucky guess or a
Yeah,
lucky
they got
circumstances.
lucky.
Every once in a while, they're bound to. So yeah, so they leave him, and in the hallway, Wyatt tries to small talk with Lucy. She's not exactly having it. Like she wants to lash out. I feel like at this point, if Jessica didn't interrupt, she was just gonna
I
go
think
at
she's
him.
trying to like keep things civil too for the sake of like they all can't escape each other. So like there's only so much she can say, but like she can't. And then she got lucky because Jessica was there, but like, you
Yeah.
know.
I'm like, dude, like, I was nice enough to be understanding, and you bring her here. Like,
Yeah. And that's like her being nice about it. Like she could have
yeah.
gone like way further. But that was pretty
Yeah.
civil, in my opinion.
I probably would have slapped him. Like,
Yeah.
he deserved a solid, like, slap across the head. Like,
Probably a little
maybe.
more than that too, but yeah.
I wish Rufus would have done, like, you know, the NCIS, like Gibbs, you know, when they mess up, just slap across the back of the head.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Jessica interrupts, and Lucy just goes to make JFK some lunch. Denise walks in and kind of checks in on her. And honestly, at this point, with all the Wyatt and Jessica stuff going on, I kind of forgot. Like, she's like, well, yeah, you know, your mother tried to have you hang it. Like, oh yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, it's like, obviously Rufus didn't tell everyone. Only certain Geo knows. And that's Mason true. Doesn't know. Denise doesn't know. Everyone else doesn't know. Everyone else thinks that, like, her mom is the big issue. So, like,
yeah. I mean, to sum it all, like, Lucy is not having a good time. Like,
no.
Things suck right now. But I do love it. Like, she has people to talk to, and it's her new family. She's got Mama Denise and Sister Gia.
Yeah. At least they're checking in on her. I feel like in some other shows, most of the time, the main character's going through something, and, like, nobody's really, like, actually trying to check in on that person. And I'm like, oh, at least, like, within the first 5 minutes, Gia checked in on her, Denise checked in on her. I'm like, okay, she's got people, at least.
Exactly. She wants to talk to somebody, she's got options. I like the little comment about, you know, Lucy making a sandwich that's kind of
not
doesn't
good.
Look all that great. Like, I hope he enjoys whatever that is.
Yeah.
Turns out he won't, because he's gone when she brings him the sandwich. So yeah, that went well. And that's how we get to the credits.
Yeah, and so, and I don't know how he, like, got out that little bitty space either. I guess he wasn't very big.
But still, that's, like, tiny. I, like, yeah, once they started looking tiny. At it, I was like, there's no way. No way.
Yeah, no.
Like, yeah, we need to have a whole talk about the whole security thing in that bunker, because it's, like...
Yeah, they have alarms for when Wyatt tries to escape, but somebody can go out the air duct and nobody even sees him.
Exactly. Yeah. Somehow, because, like, it's an underground base.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like,
but there's sunlight coming through the ducts.
There can be 20 entrances or exits. So how did he get past?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's
makes no sense.
No,
but it works for the plot.
It does, which the entire thing. It truly would not have made that entertaining of an episode if he had just been picked up by security outside and brought back.
Yeah. So my history minute this week is a little bit long because the man was ambitious. Love to say that. For a very short life, but he was ambitious. And then just a little bit about the Kennedy curse at the end, because that is something that, like it's not a thing, but it's like a
people actually believe it.
Yeah. And so
I mean, there's reasons.
A lot of stuff has happened to this family. So John Fitzgerald Kennedy was born May 29th, 1917 in Brookline, Massachusetts. His mother, Rose, was the daughter of former Boston Mayor John F. Fitzgerald, and his father, Joseph Patrick, had built his million-dollar fortune, multi-million-dollar fortune, in banking and other pursuits like bootlegging and the stock market. The Kennedys had 9 children together, and John was the second oldest. John went on to attend Harvard, but also worked as his father's secretary for 6 months during 1938 while he was the U.S. ambassador to Great Britain. This inspired the topic of his senior thesis, which became a best-selling book after he expanded it, which was titled Why England Slept, but also gave him connections which allowed him to enter the U.S. Navy despite having a bad back and other chronic illnesses. I always wondered how that happened, because I knew he'd been sick. And so I didn't know how he'd gotten into the Navy, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
They have a lot of family connections. And so once in the Navy, he was briefly assigned to an office in Charleston, South Carolina. And I used to live there, and there's all these, like, rumors floating around of, like, he was involved with a Russian spy, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know that there's basis for any of it. But the tour guides will tell you about it. So he wasn't there very long, though. And then he went to Chicago for officer training. And then follow-up training in Rhode Island. He was assigned to the USS Rochambeau in the Pacific Theater, where he took charge of a motor torpedo boat, PT-109. During a patrol on August 1 of 1943, a Japanese warship struck and split PT-109 in two, sending Kennedy flying into the cockpit onto his back. And then, despite the injury, he gathered the 10 other men clinging to the split vessel and made a plan to swim for a barely visible island about 3 miles away. Because their engineer was badly burned, Kennedy towed him behind him in a life vest, holding the strap for the life vest in his teeth. So they swam for 3 miles, got there, realized there was no one or no food on the island. And so they attempted that night, him and another guy, to swim through the lake or the water outside the island looking for torpedo boats, but they didn't spot any. So they swam to a different island where they could see coconuts. And eventually Kennedy and an ensign who had joined the crew literally that night, just because his boat had been damaged. So he wasn't even supposed to be on the crew. He was just an 11th man added to the 10-person crew, named George Ross, set out for a different island named Nauru, where they met locals, and Kennedy was reported to have carved a message in a coconut and asked them to take it to the base at Rendova. They returned with food and a message from the commander asking for the American leader to accompany the messenger back to him. Kennedy went with them and was met with PT-157, which went on to rescue the rest of the crew. So all 11 made it. By the time they were rescued,
did they have Wilson on the island?
I don't believe they did. They had a coconut. But it did take a full week. This was like a week-long ordeal. So he was missing for about 7 days, where they probably thought they were all dead.
Someone ever made a movie about that? Because that'd be a good movie. I'd watch that.
They did have a movie that was released the year he died.
About that?
1963. About that particular... Because that wasn't actually unclassified until 1958 or 9. So like nobody even really knew about it. But he did receive a Navy and Marine Service Medal for the rescue, as well as a Purple Heart for his injuries. And his military service is one of the reasons his family chose to bury him at Arlington National Cemetery, where his grave is lit by an eternal flame. And then following World War II and the death of his older brother, Joseph Kennedy Jr., John abandoned his plan to pursue a career in academics or journalism and went into politics. He ran as a Democratic congressman for Massachusetts in 1946 and won with votes garnered by his family and connections to college and Navy friends. As a congressman, he supported social reform to better the lives of American citizens with public housing and Social Security, and was also a supporter of the Cold War, but was critical of Truman's foreign policy in Asia. In 1952, he gave up his safe seat as a representative in Boston and ran for the U.S. Senate. His brother Robert managed his campaign, and his mother and sisters held Kennedy teas across Massachusetts to gain voters. He won and took his seat in the Senate. I think the same year, the state voted Republican for the president, though. So it was interesting that it split like that. Not long after, he married Jacqueline Lee Bouvier, which I think I might have said that name wrong, but she's also known as Jackie. And he voted contrary as a senator. He voted contrary to what was expected as a Democrat in Massachusetts on a few different matters, and disappointed fellow Democrats by not firmly backing McCarthy. So like McCarthy knew his family, but he didn't particularly like what McCarthy was doing. He actually planned to vote against McCarthy during the vote that would condemn his conduct. But he was hospitalized following his fourth back surgery and missed the vote. During his recovery, he spent 6 months strapped to a backboard, and he used the time to write a book, though most of the credit likely went to his assistant, and the book won a Pulitzer Prize. And then once recovered, one of Kennedy's campaigns as a senator was to abolish the Electoral College. Obviously, we still have it. And civil rights became another of his primary focuses. In 1956, he was nearly the Democratic vice president. I cannot speak today. The Democratic vice president candidate. And it was his televised concession speech that took him from a Massachusetts senator to a household name. In 1958, he won the largest margin ever in his state as senator, showing his viability as a presidential candidate. His brothers, Robert or Bobby, and Edward or Ted, as they were both known, Bobby and Ted, joined him on the campaign in a private jet purchased by their father, and he officially put his name in to seek the Democratic nomination in 1960. With Lyndon B. Johnson as his VP, Kennedy beat out his opponent Richard Nixon and became the youngest president of the United States. In his famous inaugural address, he delivered the infamous line, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." There's also a pub in Georgetown, and I don't know if it's true or not, but there's a little plaque on the seat that said that's where they sat. Sat while he's writing that speech. Yeah. So I've sat in it. We went to dinner there. It was Martin's Pub.
Yeah.
Or tavern, one of the two.
Yeah, tavern.
But it was pretty cool. And there's like a sign on each table. So like stuff happened. Like a lot of people have visited that place.
Yeah.
And then as president, he was ardent in his pursuit of civil rights legislation, created both the Alliance for Progress and the Peace Corps, and championed space exploration, though he did not live to see a man step foot on the moon. So he's kind of started everything, and then it was continued into the next presidential administrations. A large global problem for America at the time was the spread of communism, which Kennedy knew, and he allowed a band of CIA-trained Cuban exiles to invade Cuba in an attempt to overthrow Fidel Castro with pressure from his Joint Chiefs of Staff. The Bay of Pigs invasion was a horrible disaster, and Kennedy vowed to never listen to them again without first challenging their opinion. Russia's presence in both East Berlin and Cuba was a large concern, and it was during Kennedy's presidency that Russia ordered a wall to be erected between East and West Berlin, and they began stockpiling short and intermediate range nuclear missiles in Cuba. They were discovered during air reconnaissance, and Kennedy ordered a quarantine, or basically a blockade, around Cuba. And the world teetered on the brink of nuclear war for about 13 days. So it almost got into a hot war instead of a cold war. But eventually the Soviet premier announced the withdrawal of the weapons, and this was known as the Cuban Missile Crisis. About 10 months later, the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty was signed, which I think we talked about in episode 3 during all of the Las Vegas stuff. And then that was a success for the Kennedy administration. However, at the same time, the attempt to combat communism led to Kennedy sending money, supplies, and 15,000 military advisors to Vietnam, escalating America's involvement in the region. The Kennedys had two children, Caroline and John Jr., who lived past infancy. John Jr. was born shortly after Kennedy was elected president. With his large and influential family and charming optimism, the Kennedys' occupation of the White House earned the title Camelot from the Arthurian legend. Unknown at the time, but in addition to back problems, the president also suffered from Addison disease, which affects the adrenal glands. And he and Jackie both took amphetamines, which were thought to be safe at the time. A lot of Hollywood took them as kind of like cheer up pills type thing. But he also took them for his illnesses. Later, claims of infidelity, most famously between the president and Marilyn Monroe, and ties to organized crime tainted that shining castle on the hill image of Camelot. Looking at his upcoming election in 1964, which he expected to win, Kennedy sought to dampen a feud between Governor Connally and Senator Yarbrough in his vice president's home state of Texas. As a show of unity, he decided to tour the state with both men in November of 1963. On November 22nd, he was in the back of an open-top limousine in a slow-moving motorcade driving through downtown Dallas. Abraham Zapruder was filming the president's car as it passed at 12:30 p.m. when shots rang out. Thanks to this video, the events were later able to be analyzed, but it has brought forth many questions and theories. Kennedy was struck once in the back of the neck and once in the skull. Governor Connally was also hit but recovered. The president was taken to Parkland Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Lyndon B. Johnson was sworn in at 2:38 p.m. on board Air Force One at Love Field with his wife and Jackie Kennedy at his side. Jackie was still wearing the blood-stained suit she had during the motorcade. He was sworn in by Texas federal judge Sarah T. Hughes. So there's famous pictures of her holding the Bible and him with Lady Bird Johnson and Jackie Kennedy on either side of him. Meanwhile, a manhunt had begun in Dallas. It was discovered 24-year-old Lee Harvey Oswald used a mail order rifle to set up on the sixth floor of the book depository building that overlooked Dealey Plaza, which is where the president's car would pass through. After firing three shots, he made his way back to his rooming house and was stopped by a patrolman named Tippett, who thought he resembled the suspect they were looking for. This was around 1:15 p.m. He killed Tippett and ran to a theater nearby, where he was found at 1:45. This is where there's a lot of parallels between Lincoln's assassination and Kennedy's assassination that you'll see a lot brought up in kind of online conspiracy theories and things like that. He was arraigned on murder charges the next day. And then on November 24th, 2 days after the assassination of the president, Oswald was killed by Jack Ruby, a local nightclub owner with ties to organized crime, in the basement of a police building. While inquiries confirmed Oswald was the killer, there are many conspiracy theories and questions surrounding Kennedy's assassination. And for more on that, you can tune in to Who Killed JFK, which was written by timeless writer David Hoffman. So if you want to know more on that. Now, I mentioned the Kennedy curse. I was going to talk about that a little bit. So the idea of the Kennedy curse did not start with Kennedy's assassination. It was actually suggested later by his brother, Ted. However, there is no doubt that despite their prestige and charm, the Kennedys did suffer many tragedies. In 1941, one of John's sisters, Rosemary, was the victim of a botched lobotomy in an attempt to cure her violent outburst. So she already had some kind of mental illness, and they were attempting to make it better with a lobotomy. Obviously, medicine at the time.
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't do that today. But following lobotomy, she was unable to walk and severely mentally compromised. She was in care for the rest of her life. His brother Joe died in a plane crash during a mission in August of 1944. It is believed an explosive on his plane detonated early, killing both Joe and his co-pilot. His sister Kathleen died in a plane crash in 1948 after the plane she was in was caught in a storm and it broke apart, killing all on board. In August of 1963, so August is not a good time for them. Shortly before Kennedy's assassination, Jackie and John's son, Patrick, was born prematurely, only lived 39 hours. The couple also suffered stillbirth and miscarriages in the past. As I said, in November, Kennedy was assassinated of that year. In 1968, his brother Bobby was assassinated during his presidential campaign. This changed the Secret Service mandate, which changed to cover presidential candidates as well. And that assassination involved the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So just to bring it back to the present, that was going on then as well. In 1969, John's brother Ted was involved in what was termed as the Chappaquiddick incident. Following a party, Ted left with a fellow partygoer, Mary Jo Kopechne, and his car skidded off a bridge, landed in the water below. Ted was able to escape, but Kopechne was trapped inside. Ted did not report the incident until 10 a.m. the next morning, when Kopechne's body had already been recovered. In 1999, President Kennedy's son, John Jr., died in a plane crash while piloting. His wife and sister-in-law also died on the crash. And there are more, but other lists include more recent tragedies, which I didn't want to include, within the last 20 years, and also medical conditions as well. So even without those, that is quite a long list of things that happened to this family. So that's crazy. Yeah, that is my history minute. But...
Yeah, no.
So a lot happened in a very short amount of time for him.
Yeah. No,
that's an understatement.
Yeah.
That family, I know, like, between, like, him and Jackie, like, all the miscarriages and they had stillbirth and whatnot, like, just that in itself is a lot to bear. And then Jackie on top of that, like, not only her husband is assassinated, but he's assassinated, like, right next to her. I can't even imagine the amount of trauma.
When it's been years since I saw the video of it because I went to Dallas and we did like a tour around Dealey Plaza into the book depository, and on the video you can see her like leaning out behind him to pick something up, and what it was like literally a piece of his skull that she didn't want to fall and have someone else find. So like it was in like literally like I can't imagine the trauma from that at all.
No.
And then 2 hours later, you're standing on Air Force One.
Swearing in the next president.
Swearing in the next president, and you haven't even been able to change your clothes. Like, that's,
And like you said,
she went on to...
She literally just lost a child, right? That's what
Like 2 months, 2, 3 months before, And so, and then she remarries a few years later to Aristotle Onassis, and he died within the next decade, I believe. She's buried alongside John F. Kennedy, though, in Arlington. That's one thing about Arlington is if your husband or spouse is buried there, you can also be buried with them, as well as children. But that's one of my favorite places to visit around Easton.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and he had actually, this is, it's kind of weird because he'd only been there for like, he'd only been there 11 days prior for Veterans Day. And he didn't speak or anything, but that was, they always have a Veterans Day ceremony there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Crazy.
Yep. So anyway, back to our episode, which is also tragic, honestly. But JFK apparently crawled through the air duct, like we said. And Lucy Liu saw the things.
Also, I just realized he crawled through an air duct. It's got to go to the surface, so it's got to go up. Mm-hmm. So not only he crawled through it, but he climbed through it.
Yeah.
Somehow. How many levels?
Well, I mean, it probably would be a little easier to crawl through something that's smaller, because you could kind of like leverage yourself up.
But still,
instead
like,
of like having to like get a ladder.
There's nothing to hold on to, though.
Yeah,
like,
it would have to be pressure.
Yeah.
You have to like spider climb up.
He must have really wanted to get out of there. I mean, I don't blame him, but also like,
yeah, I mean,
he was running on adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so Lucy lists all the things that basically could happen if they don't get JFK back to his time, which, you know, the stuff I just listed was a short list of stuff that happened during
the actual nuclear war with Cuba would have, you know, I mean, not with Cuba, with Russia via Cuba.
Russia via Cuba,
That would have been fun. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, just one, I mean, all the civil rights legislation, like she said, the Peace Corps. Like,
right, so much happened during his short amount of time as president. Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because he was only president for like 1,037 days or something.
Yeah, not even.
He still got a lot done during that time.
Yeah, crazy.
Not even, the full time.
Yeah.
But, so Wyatt decides he's going to go out to look for him, but says to Lucy that she should sit this one out because she's injured. So Jessica volunteers.
I like everybody's reaction. Because like, first, like, I don't know if you should go. Like, well, she's a teacher and she's going, and everybody's like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, rude.
Is she a teacher?
Like, I was like, that's rude, Jessica.
Yeah, seriously. That's rude. Like, she's a historian and
get
a
it
professor.
Right.
Like, watch your mouth.
Get it right.
You're new. You're new here. Stay in your lane.
And so finally Wyatt agrees, and so Lucy's like, well, I'm going to then. And then Gia tells them that the nearest building is a gas station, which is like 2 miles away.
That's funny because that at some point, like, they all, like, I think everybody thinks it's a bad idea, but at some point, like, especially once Lucy starts going, they're like, you want to get in between that? You want to get in? No,
nope.
Neither. Okay, let's just...
No. Like, we're not going to stop it, so we're just going to go with it.
Exactly.
Yep. And so we zoom over to the gas station, and John is outside, and he is super confused, so he runs inside. He sees a motorcycle first, which obviously to him must be look like something came from space. And, or not even, like, he doesn't even... So that... No, okay. They don't even have the imagined... like idea of like what the 1960s space travel will look like. It's like they'd had sci-fi and stuff like that in the 40s, but like our go-to thought of like, oh, it must have come from space, like he's
doesn't
the reason we
exist.
Think that, so it doesn't exist.
I like that the first thing he sees, so like not only the motorcycle but the guy is speaking on his Bluetooth, so I think he thinks that he's talking to him because it's something like, oh, hey babe, and like, what?
Yeah. And so runs inside and he's asking for a payphone, which the clerk is like, it's in a museum. And so he tries to call his dad, but this is before modern phone numbers. And so he's like, Gramercy something something something, and the guy's like, what? And so he hands him his cell phone, which is a touch screen, and he's again like, what is this? So they do a really good job here of like making him as confused as possible with the future in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because when you think about it, like, it's not, there's what, like, there's a, okay, I guess because it's from the 30s, there's still like a 70-year-old. But so much has changed. Like, there's been so many.
The 30s, you're nearly 100.
I know. Oh, why? Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But like, yeah. Honestly, it didn't even need to be that far for him to be confused. Because if you look at the last like 50 years, so much has happened.
Look at the last like 20 years.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, I was born and like cell phones weren't a thing. I'm not that old.
Yeah.
So to go from that to like a smartphone is pretty incredible.
Yeah. So he finally sees the date on a newspaper nearby and he's like, wait, what year is it? And so he tells him it's April 5th, 2018. And of course, at this point, he's like, oh my God. But a girl approaches and asks him if he's all right, because he obviously does not look all right.
No kidding.
And he asked her for a ride. But back at the bunker, Rufus, Gia, and Mason are trying to track him down, and some loopy headache things with time loop things and fate and Gia's premonitions happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting cooperation. I like that Mason, you know, he's always the optimistic. Yeah, we're never gonna find him. Like, cool, you're helping, dude. That's great.
Yeah.
And then you got Gia, but, that's logic. Well, no, we know who he is, so we're still fine.
Yeah.
It's
and they know what he looks like. So at the gas station, the three of them arrive and ask the clerk about JFK, which he had already said he's running away from somebody. And so the clerk is like, nope, haven't seen him. And so they start doing like the, he's our brother and he's off his meds. And the guy's like, what kind of meds? And so Jessica is the one who tunes in here and says an antipsychotic. And so that actually convinces him. And he tells them they're headed to Palo Alto in a red BMW.
I thought this was interesting because, you know, before they go in, they were like, okay, how are we approaching this? And like Lucy starts, well, okay, we're going to tell him he's my brother. And then Jessica's like, well, like, shouldn't you just stick to like closer to the truth? So when they go in, Wyatt kind of goes with Jessica's idea at first, and then it doesn't work. So Lucy takes over with her idea. And at the end, it's basically Jessica that helps Lucy. Like, it's kind of like a good combination of all three of them, of all their tactics. Yeah.
It does bring in a good question of like why she knew about it. She knew about, like, I think it was like risperidone or something. She knew it, like right off the top of her head. And so, like, I think that's interesting potential plot, I guess, that they could go down at some point this season, of why she knows that. But anyway, in said car that they are looking for, the kids.
Every time you mention, it's maybe something they can do for the rest of the season. Everybody goes quiet.
I know. I'm like, I'm not even looking at the screen because I know y'all are making faces at me. So in the red BMW, the kids and Jack have a talk. He explains he's been kidnapped. Again, kind of dates himself in time of like, he attends an all-white boarding school type thing with only boys. And all these kids go to school together, which is, you know, modern.
Shocking to him.
Shocking, yeah. And so, but again, something that as a president, he later tries to push like civil rights reform and things like that.
And so they I think show it's a good, it here, like, thread. He's shocked, but he's not
appalled. Like, he's just shocked.
Yeah, no, he's exactly. not, yeah.
He's shocked, and he's like, he's actually kind of envious of them. He's like, oh, that's cool. Like,
yeah. And so I think they like, I feel like they wove a lot of really good threads like that into the episode. Yeah. But then he starts feeling sick and they take him to a hospital.
I really love Kayla. She's such a sweet, like genuinely nice person. Because like the two friends, they like especially the guy, like he's just like, hey, you better not puke in my car. Like they would have not taken him to begin with, I think. And it's just she's the one who's like, okay, he looks a little like lost. Let's take care of the kid. Like,
yeah, and like it makes sense later when she says, you know, somebody in her family is a psychologist
her
or
mom,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it makes sense like later why she does that.
Yeah.
But back to the bunker, Rufus, or back to the trio. Rufus is telling them over the phone that he lost the red BMW on the street cams. But Lucy figures out they must be headed to a hospital for the same reasons that he's going to the hospital, which is he has a chronic illness. And Jessica supports her. So yay, team Jessica and Lucy, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, at Rittenhouse, Emmett tells Keynes they lost JFK and is pretty sure he's now in the present. And Carol comes in to the same conclusion as Lucy is basically he's going to head to a hospital. And I think this is where he asks, oh, was Lucy involved in this?
Yeah.
And Emma says,
yeah.
No, she wasn't even
First
there.
Thing, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, first, because obviously he's kind of fed up with her at this point. But Emma goes to the hospitals to take out JFK when he shows up, and Keynes instructs her to take out the time team if she has the opportunity as well, because he's tired of them. And then cut to Denise in her car, stopped in traffic. A man breaks in and drugs her before driving away with her in her car. So that was kind
That's
of out of
great.
nowhere. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And yeah, which, I mean, we see later why she was, what happened. But at the bunker, Gia and Rufus have some philosophical debate about fate, faith, and some of Rufus's backstory.
It's kind of a sweet moment. I like that moment. Because they
yeah.
both explain their side of things.
Yeah, like why they see the things that, like the way they see them.
Yeah.
And without, again, like without judgments on any side, like it's more, well, this is my view and this is my view. And despite that, like they're a couple, like it's not a deal breaker. They're just open with.
It's just a true discussion.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I feel like we've seen that a lot last season with Wyatt and Lucy. So it's nice to see it with Rufus and Gia too.
Yeah.
Like where that came from. Yeah. And so then Mason, who went out to try to call Agent Christopher, comes back and cannot reach her. So he's getting a little worried. That's when we find out Denise has been tied up in a chair in some kind of warehouse, and Carol is there. So yay. Not a good situation to be in. She tells her she's planning on giving Lucy up for adoption, but couldn't. And since she couldn't protect her daughter anymore, she asked Denise to keep Lucy off missions to protect her.
So
she also kind of makes some threats.
I was thinking back about like this timeline compared to the OG timeline, because back in episode 2, like season 1, you know, when Gia looks up the family tree, so Carol and Henry are supposed to have met in 1979 and they got married in 1980. But then Lucy wasn't born until 1983. So what happened? That's what I'm wondering is like, did like Carol and Cahill like had an affair?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if they retcon some of the things. Like what? I'm trying to figure out what difference Henry. So obviously, it feels like Carol was out of Rittenhouse in the original timeline because Lucy never was, or she was never brought in. I don't know. It's complicated.
Yeah, there's, I feel like there's definitely some things that don't quite add up or make sense with their past.
I mean, like, yeah.
But like that also might be chalked up to, you know, the first season they kind of had a plan and a vague second season maybes. And so once they got around to writing those second season maybes, they realized they needed to add a little more. And so some of it just doesn't line up, which happens.
I mean, if I really want to, I can explain it. Stretching it, but I can explain it.
Yeah. But you know,
but
I think
also it gets dark, and that might be because I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale. like I could see some dark theories that I'm not gonna get into.
Yeah, I could see that.
But also,
But
I would not put it past Rittenhouse.
yeah, I don't know. So, but whatever happened, obviously, in this timeline and in the last one, she didn't give Lucy up for adoption. So, which, if that had happened, wouldn't they have just gone and got her, like Rittenhouse? Which may have been one she didn't. So, anyway, the trio is at the hospital, and Jessica tells kind of a cute little story about her and Wyatt, which obviously, like, hurts Lucy, but, like, I think later is why she makes some of the decisions she does.
But I mean, also, like, apparently Wyatt surfs, and I kind of need to see that. Can you
I don't
guys
picture
imagine?
Wyatt being a surfer boy.
Yeah,
Mm-mm.
I can't. I really can't.
No.
He might be one of those guys who's just, like, good at everything athletically, naturally.
But apparently, Jessica says that he wasn't that good at it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe he's one of those who try everything at least once.
Yeah, that I could see.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wyatt Logan face planting into the ocean. That could be fun. But yeah, so back inside the hospital, JFK is recovering in a bed, and Kayla comes to check in on him. She mentions a party at her brother's house, I believe, that she and her friends are going to, which becomes important later. And that's when he tells her that somehow we traveled in time. And yeah, she doesn't, she's nice about it, but she doesn't really believe him, and who can blame her,
Who
really?
would, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds completely crazy. So at the reception, Lucy asks about her brother. They're told that, just like they told his aunt, they gotta wait for an update. And like, his aunt? Alarm bells, alarm bells. And so the nurse / receptionist walks away, and Wyatt just looks at his room number. So yeah, and then they go, like, so much for hip hop. But yeah, we all know about fiction word HIPAA. It's not a thing.
No, it does not exist.
No. And so as they're walking to his room, they figure out that Emma's here.
Yay.
Yay. Honestly, I'm not mad about this one.
I mean, it does get one of the better fight sequences of
yes.
the mm-hmm. show.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, so like they see her go into the room. Good thing he's gone. And then I like how they make up something so that Lucy and Jessica kind of held up behind, and so Wyatt can go in and starts fighting Emma. It's like, and like you said, it's such a great thing because it involves like the ivy pole, Wyatt
yeah.
like rolling over the bed. Like it's a good sequence. And then finally, Lucy and Jessica go in, and Lucy tries to help, but ends up with Emma taking a knife to her throat, which, you know, cool. And obviously, Wyatt points to shoot at Emma, but even if Lucy's telling Lou, take the shot, she's their only pilot, he can't risk it. He's trying, he wants to, but he can't.
No.
He's not. There's precious cargo. And so Emma manages to run away, and that's when he and Lucy have a very, very sweet moment right in front of Jessica. Like, you do there, you guys are not subtle, like not even a little
yeah.
bit.
Not even close.
Yeah, I've been rewatching Bridgerton season 2, and you know what, there's like, I think it's episode 7 where Kate and Anthony are looking at each other, and Edwina's like, have I not been able to see this the whole time? I feel like that was Jessica's moment of
yeah.
like, I've been blind for like 2 days or
The
however
big,
long she's been there.
yeah, the big difference is that Jessica has been blind for like the last half hour. Edwina was blind
Yeah.
for 6 episodes.
Yeah.
which, how?
Yeah, like, how did I not see it till now?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely has a pause. And you know, I'm not mad at Emma for giving us this little moment because it was fun.
Yeah.
So they try to go after Emma, but there's a security guard like right at the door who takes Wyatt in handcuffs to take him to the police apparently. And Lucy just like this time she can be subtle. She takes a paperclip and slips it to Wyatt. And she does her best Karen impression for a diversion. Like, can I speak to your manager, please? and so she and Jessica go outside to wait for Wyatt. And that's basically where Jessica says, okay, like, not mine. I see there's something going on between the two of you. Maybe I should just try to give him a second chance, but with you. And she mentions here that Wyatt wasn't always faithful to her, which sounds very different from the Wyatt, you know. Like, it's a huge difference.
But it also could have happened, like, between originally when she died and
currently. Right, two different realities.
5 years. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
no, no,
he might not, like, this Wyatt might not have ever.
No, no,
and like, would not have ever, but
because like the, I think we,
her
we,
Wyatt
we can,
obviously did.
Yeah, we can definitely see like the fact that in the original, I mean, not even the original. Well, yeah, it's the original timeline. We're on like the third timeline at this point. but
the timeline that Jessica is referring to,
exactly.
Yeah.
But when Jessica was murdered, obviously it caused like a massive change in Wyatt. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's always seems like always makes me pause when she says like, yeah, he wasn't always faithful to me. Like, but anyway, so Jessica kind of tries to walk away, but of course Lucy catches up to her and she says, no, Wyatt really wants you back. And she tells her the story about how he tried to get her a message when they were in Vegas, which, nice to have like a little callback to that.
Yeah,
to the last JFK episode.
Yeah, that's true too. Too. Well, that first one was JFK adjacent.
I mean, he was there.
He was there. But and so yeah, she tells him like how much Wyatt wants a second chance with her, and I hate it here. You can just like let her go. You're fine. Let her go. I hate it here.
Yeah, but like, I can see like why they chose to have Lucy do this, because if she had just been like, okay, bye, like mine now,
yeah,
like
no,
we wouldn't
it's
have
not,
respected Lucy quite
it's
as
not
much
Lucy,
for it. Yeah,
of course it's Lucy. I know she would have never done that, but like we were this close.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like miserable Lucy, okay? Not fun. They're interrupted by Wyatt, who drives to pick them up, and I like how Jessica is like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah. We did that. We've done that a while. We're pro now. We cut to the party, raging party, at Kayla's brother, and she tells her friend what JFK said that. And obviously, they're kind of freaking out. Like, that dude is not doing well. And that's when she says that, well, you know, her mom is a... I forgot if she used, like, therapist or psychologist or...
Mm-hmm. One of the
yeah.
two. Kind of...
She works in mental health. And she's coming back tomorrow, so, like, maybe she can help him. And I like, as the party's going on, we see John... walking like behind two girls who are taking a selfie, and like it's like a very quick moment, but it's important for like a couple scenes from now when they that's
yeah.
the selfie where they found him. So yeah,
I also
she...
think about this episode, you know how I always say like they're all creating these like time travel conspiracy theorists like the whole time they're time traveling, like imagine the ones out of that party when later they like see this guy that looks exactly like JFK as a kid in the background of their photo.
It's like, but it's like, you know, 20 years later, because like not a lot of people necessarily know what JFK looked like when he was 17. But you imagine like one of them becomes, I don't know what, and she reads about JFK and she's like, she's a photo of him as a teenager. She's like, what? Reminds me of something. And like, you know, the Facebook memories come on, hey, 20 years ago. I'm like, what the?
Like the math doesn't math. Something doesn't like make the, sense.
What's like that picture of the guy who looks just like Nicolas Cage from like the 1800s?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So it'd be like one of those pictures.
That one, yeah. It's really fun. So Kayla goes to John and she convinces him to stay in that because it's gotten dark outside. We should stay the night. And I like how she's trying to be super nice and she comes on, like you can tell she's really trying to get the appeasing voice, like, it's okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Like how you would talk to a little kid who just had a nightmare.
Yeah.
But then, so we cut back to Denise. So Carol's back after giving her a little bit of time to think about it. Like, think about what you've done. Okay. is that what it is? Was Denise in the timeout chair? But yeah. she's got Mr. Muscles with her. And Denise starts going on and on about doing what's best for her kids. And she goes with a story about how there was a school shooting. So she pulled her kids out of school to get them homeschooled. And at some point, like, Carolyn's, what are you talking about? And then she realizes that she's actually stalling for time because Homeland Security can track her location. And so Mr. Muscles knock her out.
Yep. And so then we switch back to Rufus on the phone trying to help them find JFK. And Jessica suggests they check Instagram. And this time Lucy supports her. So we're seeing like what happened in the beginning. They switch it around.
Yeah.
And then at Kayla's house, she and JFK are in her room and they bond over literature. And Kayla checks her phone. And finds a photo of him. I guess an iPad, really. She finds a photo of him and gets it on the iPad later. And he finds out who he's supposed to become and what happens to him and why. And basically, like, everything you're not supposed to do with time travel
happens.
And finding out things about yourself happens. And so she tells him about the Kennedy curse.
Yeah. Like, but, poor and, kid.
Yeah. That's a lot for a 17-year-old.
Well, I'm like... his face as he's like learning all these things, mm-hmm. like the guy who played him, I think I looked it up. I think his name's Grant.
Oh, Grant, yeah Grant
I
Jordan.
I looked them
he's
up. Actually,
so good, and like his really facial, and like just in this moment of like, because it's so heartbreaking. Like when I was watching this again, and I've seen this episode, I don't know how many times, more than 10 probably. Mm-hmm. Like I just like I'm like I feel for him all over again in that moment. I'm like he was so good.
And he starts, and he's, oh, wow, like, I become president. Like, he's super happy. And like, and then he's like, well, that should have been my brother. And then he realizes, like, everything that happens to his family and what happens to him. And you can just see, like, his face completely.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I looked up both him and the actress who played Kayla. So we might. I forgot to put them in my notes, so I might as well do it now. So, like we were saying, JFK is played by Grant Jordan. And honestly, like, he hasn't done a whole lot of things, which is surprising because he's excellent.
He's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just has like a couple of like one or two offs in things like Victorious, Modern Family, Chasing Last, NCIS LA. And he was like, he did a couple of shorts. And Manny's just telling me that apparently he has been on Broadway, and I did not see that. Let's see if I can find him quickly. Jordan. What's he done on Broadway? Like, I only see Okay, maybe if I Google with Broadway. Okay, maybe here. Yeah, that's him.
Looks like he's been in some Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing
Maybe.
too. Something called Passing Strange. That's not Broadway. Yeah, he
Oh,
definitely
theater.
did
Yeah, maybe not
some
Broadway, but
theater.
just some
Yeah.
theater.
He's some theater. But yeah, he was really good. And the actress who played Kayla is played by Raina Hardesty. She was recurring in the Greenhouse Academy, which feel like we've seen a couple of times. I haven't seen him, but I feel like we've seen her.
I think it's on Netflix.
I think
It's on
so.
one of the streamers, yeah.
Yeah. She was also on Startup. She appeared on The Flash, which now that I think about it, I feel like I
She
sort of
was?
remember.
Yeah, she was on
Might be
Flash
just the
and
one off.
DC Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
The
So
Weather
I feel like I
Witch.
remember her, the Weather Witch. I feel like that rings a bell. Like I watched some of The Flash, like not all of it, but that was a while back. Yeah, she did some movies and some shorts too. Like not a whole lot of credits, but yeah, the Flash kind of
Her
rings
biggest
a
one,
bell.
probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Greenhouse Academy, I think she had quite a few. I always like between the time I put them, like I take my notes on, and the time that we record, I usually completely forget what I read. Greenhouse. 14 episode on the Greenhouse Academy. How long is that show? Oh, it's 3 seasons, so not. Like she's probably recurring for like a season or something. Where? Yeah, she was in it for the second season mostly. But yeah, okay. Now I gotta go back down. That's why I usually put them in my notes. Da, 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 da. Where are we? Where are we? There we
At the
go.
bunker.
At the bunker. So Gia finally finds JFK on Instagram. Well, actually, I think it's Facebook. No, because she mentions that the Facebook face like facial recognition thinks
He's Ainsel Al Gore,
Ansel
yeah.
Elgort. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
It
I
was
don't
Instagram, I
know.
think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a dig at Facebook because don't like he doesn't really look like JFK, so it's like a little.
I guess I could see from like a facial recognition, like software recognition, why they pick it up. I wouldn't have
Yeah.
thought about it, but like I could see like, oh, okay, maybe why like a grainy picture of this guy could come
Looks
out
like
to
his
look,
person, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
At first, I was looking at his filmography, so like, oh. Did he play a young JFK in a movie somehow? Like that would have been fun, but no.
Yeah.
So Gia figures out the address of the party. And before we get there, we cut to Connor finding Denise unconscious in her car. And so she wakes up, she tells him what happened, and when she gets out of the car, surprise, surprise, they parked her right in front of her house.
Yeah.
Like
And she has a
that's
massive black eye and her kids are coming out. Like, yeah.
and she like I like it, like she's very calm and collected, but you can definitely hear like the little twinge of panic in her voice, like, honey, I'll be right in, just go inside, okay?
Yeah.
That's gotta be like terrifying when she realizes that at this point. Like 'cause that's a pretty clear message. But yeah, so we go back to the party, and JFK is having a drink out of a, or like an entire bottle, which can't be good for his health things.
No,
no,
that can't be good. And so Kayla comes in to comfort him, and she gives him a coin with his face on it, which this is one of the coolest moments in a bit of the show, I found. So she tries to take the alcohol away from him, but he just wants to be left alone. And we cut to the trio, I think this week's time team, I guess. It's not a time team. They're not in the best, so she can't be part of the time team. So
the JFK recovery team.
Exactly. There you go. That's a good one. Not like the kid that called, like, someone's mom is here. I got to give it to Jessica. That hurt me too. Like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I like how Lucy looks at Jessica like they weren't talking about her. So, like, she's like, yeah, it's you.
Yeah. So they split up to look for JFK, and like they decide to split up, and Lucy gets so happy and like, oh wait, if we find him, I can just call you. Which I love that she gets
perks of like being in modern times.
I know. You can totally tell that Lucy's phone is a prop with like one of those glued like picture of a screen on it.
Yeah.
Because it's just on the whole time, even though she's like touching on the screen. That's funny. So inside, Wyatt finds Kellen John, and he tells him he'll bring him in. I'll bring him home, I mean. And at first, it looked like John's going to go with him, but then I was like, well, that was easy, but no, he runs way past Wyatt. And that's when you see the coin that Kayla just gave him on the floor. And the profile changes from his profile to another one, which was it Nixon or LBJ?
I don't know. I couldn't tell who it was.
I don't know if I honestly paid that close attention to see who. I just obviously know that it changed, but.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it was Nixon, which would have been interesting because that's who Rittenhouse wanted in power. So like that's
yeah, I mean, it would have made sense because that was his running opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been like, if he never ran for president, Johnson wouldn't have been president. So
that's true. And so but I like that it shows like how fluid like the timeline is, like changes.
Yeah, one little
happen.
Thing
yeah,
can
exactly.
Throw it off.
Because I mean, obviously we know they managed to get John back. And even though we don't see it, we know that he becomes president. So that coin would have changed back into his profile.
Right.
But it shows how things morph
can change
in
so quickly.
Exactly. Without them noticing anything. But does that mean that for a blink of an eye, that they wouldn't know who he was? I just realized that.
I think it might be one of those things. It's like a
for the it's a cinema
time
it's
travel
a,
wavy.
Well, and I feel like the thing. Coin changing was supposed to be more of a like cinematography thing to like visually show that there's like the change happening and like you said how fluid it can be.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, actually in reality,
yeah, it wouldn't have worked well.
Yeah. It's funny, like it's one of those like let me get a headache for a second. It's like,
yeah,
like if you want to sit there and really think about it, then maybe. But
exactly, I don't want to. Because so he runs straight into Emma. There's like one other adult in the room, and turns out it's Emma. So he's like, "Help!" And she helps by pointing a gun at him. And so thankfully, Wyatt's on his heels, so he shoots at Emma. And at you know, as much as he cared about not shooting Lucy in the hospital, there are like 50 kids around him, around Emma at this moment. Who cares?
Who cares?
yeah.
So there's some more fighting, more like a gunfight. And eventually Emma runs and JFK is out and safe with Wyatt, Lucy and Jessica. I put Rufus because I guess that was wishful thinking that I didn't have to see Lucy and Jessica kind of navigating together. But that's when Kayla realized that he was telling the truth and his secret is safe with him. So that's good. They were really sweet though.
Yeah.
I like that, like through the whole thing, you know, obviously John like freaking out the whole time, but he's still like he's always super charming.
Yeah.
It's like instinct. So they go back to the bunker and they make JFK promise not to say anything about the time machine because, you know, people would not think he's probably would not become president if he made it public that he thought he went back in time. That doesn't sound right. And before he goes inside the lifeboat, he tells them that he knows what's supposed to happen to him and to his family. And so that's when Rufus tells him not to go to Dallas on the day he's supposed to be shot. And it's, I love this moment when he's like, was I a good president? And Lucy tells him, yeah, you were one of the greatest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's sweet. So sweet. But yeah, so he goes in and Wyatt and Rufus take him back to his time. And so at this point, Denise comes in and she has to talk to Lucy. And they have a talk about what Carol told Denise. And so she tells Lucy that, you know, Carol did say, like, Rittenhouse basically wants you dead. So if you don't want to go on missions anymore, that's fine. But of course, if everybody is going to risk their life, Lucy is willing to risk hers too. And that's when Denise told her, like, if you were my daughter, I'd be so proud. Like, Mama Denise, she's such a good mom.
Yeah.
I always love, like, when Denise is in mom mode, it's perfect.
It's so good.
Yep.
So much better than Carol.
Yeah, who cares?
The lifeboat returns pretty quickly with Flynn complaining about the lack of seating amenities in the lifeboat, and G actually mentions they're working on it. Stay tuned. He does say like he managed to kill the sleepers. I like, you know, his sleeves a little ripped, like he's a little bit disheveled. Like it's been a day. But like, yeah. I mean, come on, I bet he had fun. I bet he had just a little bit of fun killing everybody.
Probably. Let's be real.
Yeah, had a little bit of fun. And so Rufus rushes out the lifeboat to ask them about JFK, like if he had a second term, if he had like 10 more kids. And nope, turns out he was still assassinated, but in Austin instead of Dallas. It goes back to the, is it meant to be?
Yeah.
So a little bit later, Wyatt and Lucy run into each other. And Wyatt thanks Lucy because apparently Jessica has decided to give him a second chance thanks to her. And he tells her that he has no regret, neither does she. Oh my God, you guys, stop. Just please. It's Jessica, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, and that's always what you want to hear is, I don't regret you. Like, thanks.
But also, it's like, I don't regret what happened, but also, bye, I'm going to go back with my wife. I'm like,
yeah.
And I was like, if, it's like one of those things where it's like, in a different reality, it would have been different. And it's like,
that's not helping. Yeah. That is not helping. Like, you're just making it worse, Wyatt.
Right person, wrong time.
I hate this so much. And so they walk away from each other with Wyatt, like, not taking his eyes off of Lucy and like, dude, you know what you're feeling. Just not. And Flip pops in from behind a wall, so you can tell he's heard the entire conversation. Cool. And so later, Flynn finds Lucy in their common slash living room. She's watching TV, and he sits silently next to her and offers her a beer. So, I mean, on the bright side, she has, like, I guess he's part of a support system, too. So you got...
In a weird way.
Yeah, Mama Denise, sister Gia, and...
Stepbrother.
Whatever, yeah, Lord Uncle Flynn. Flynn
is. Yeah. Yeah, whatever Flynn is.
Yeah.
And that's where we leave everybody.
I mean, the nice thing is here, he could have been a dick about it, and he wasn't.
That's so true.
He could have been way worse, let's be real.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, he like could he have does, been, because, I mean, yeah. When has he not taken a shot at them this entire time? So, like, he could have been worse.
But, I mean, like, he we're, really mean. Like, he, we know, like, at this point, it's pretty clear that Flynn has a soft spot for Lucy. And so, like, he can tell that she's not feeling great, so he's not gonna hammer it down even more.
Yeah.
Which, if it was Wyatt, he would have totally taken the shot. And he would not have brought him a beer. But yeah, that's that episode. So what did you think?
I liked it. It was different because, like, obviously they're in the present, so it was a different, like, format. I think I mentioned that before we started recording, but
yeah,
I kind of liked the change a little bit, and just it did open a lot of cans of worms for, like, the idea of time travel, but it was good. And then I think they're, like, obviously, I don't know if it's going anywhere, but the fact that Jessica knew right off the top of her head what an antipsychotic medicine was, like, I think that's an interesting, like, thread that could lead somewhere. But I don't really have too many theories popping off other than that. I think that with Keynes, they're definitely running out of time of him having patience with Lucy, so
always,
before long, yeah. I'm sure he's going to do something about that.
Yeah. And so Brenna, like, because yes. I know it's one of your favorite episodes.
Yes.
So what's yes. your, what's,
I just,
what
like,
exactly makes it one of your favorite episodes?
So I think one thing is just the format, the fact that it's really pretty much the only, for the most part, the only episode where they come back with maybe some things in the movie, if you want to, no, the movie's in the past, all in the past. So no, it's the only episode with, like, them really staying in present time for, you know, for the most part. And I love that. I thought it was just a fun flip. Like, I really like that. I just thought JFK was great. Like, I think it's always fun when it's somebody you, like, kind of have an idea about. And then, like I said, they flipped it because it's, like, him being brought to our time. I thought that's just fun. I thought the guys, JFK is great. Obviously, the Lucy, Wyatt, Jessica tension, that's really great. One of my favorite funny moments is the very beginning where they're like, where's Flynn? Like, I just, like, sometimes in my head, I just think about that moment, like, all the time. Like, I don't know why, but, like, I do. I think that's so funny. So, that's and cool. I just, season two, I was watching live by season two. And so for me, like, season two just, like, always holds a special place in my heart. And so I love season two in general, but, like, and I love this episode. So, like, just every time I watch it, I'm like,
yeah, and I think it's good because, like, the episode right before, so the sandwich hunt, it's such a dark and gloomy episode.
That's probably one of my least favorite episodes of the whole series.
It is
like
my
that
least
episode.
Favorite episode.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't like that episode.
There's, like,
I'm not caught up on your podcast yet, so I haven't gotten to y'all's episode on it. I'm two episodes behind. I'm in the Darlington 500, so I'm, like, two episodes
behind. Oh, not bad.
But
you kept up.
Yeah, I try.
Thank you. But yeah, so, like, it brings a bit more levity. Like, it's definitely less, like, Lucy's in, she's not doing great, but she's not doing as bad as she was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she's
yeah.
past the main shock of it.
Yeah.
And, like, as we are now, like, Jessica's trying. Like, she's not She's not an awful person.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, you can't really.
The only reason we have to hate her is that she's getting in the way of
exactly
being with, you know, yeah, Lucy and Wyatt being together. And like, yeah, that sucks. But like.
Yeah. And like for us as an obvious audience, it's kind of like she doesn't quite fit. Because she hasn't been there and she just kind of got thrown in and we don't want her to be there. But like for the characters themselves, like Lucy's like, okay, yeah, like she's Wyatt's wife, so we kind of need to make her fit. Gia and Rufus are kind of just like, guess she's here. And then Wyatt wants her there. So it's like they all have like mixed feelings about it too. So it's.
Well, and they spent the whole first season with Wyatt pining after Jessica and trying to get messages to Jessica and like trying to undo her death. Like that was so much a big part of the first season that like even if like you said that it's thrown off the flow of the time team, like they all understand how important it was to Wyatt that she's back, and so they're willing to like at least put an effort in to try and make it work because they know how much it means to him that she's back now.
Yes, definitely. But yeah, any so I guess you kind of went through your theories into what's gonna happen. So what's your, do you have any theories on Jessica? What do you think they're gonna do with her?
Like, I mean, I've given the Rittenhouse theory. I really don't know. Like at this point, like I feel like they haven't given us much to go on. So
yeah. TBD.
Yep.
Before we kind of close it, should we do a little, we could have done that at the beginning, but should we do a little One Chicago update since we got Brian up with us?
Sure.
We can. Let's, yeah. It's been a season.
That's an understatement.
It's been a season.
I feel like that's every show that's going on right now. It's like, oh, it's been a season.
I feel that. I feel that with like every show on right now. I'm like, except maybe 911. I feel like every other one, I'm like,
eh. I don't.
I feel like Fire Country struggling a little bit.
I'm not caught up on that either.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm not done. Really?
I like it.
I'm behind. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm just behind.
I need a minute. Like I'm not saying I'm done. I love how we're gonna do a One Chicago update and go straight to Fire Country.
I think if Fire Country, if Rebecca's death didn't get me off of Fire Country, then nothing will. So.
That's fair. No, it's just what do you know about the last couple episodes? Because we don't want to spoil.
Oh, I mean, I know what happens. I know what happens. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that episode in this week. So, like, I'm caught up otherwise, pretty much. I know what happens,
That's the two I haven't seen either. It's just, I think for me, at this point, I need to see where they take the end of this season and, like, maybe the first half of season three or, like, the first four or five episode of season three to see if, like, there's some payoff before I go back to being invested. Because that, like, right now, I'm not seeing any kind of payoff, especially after last night.
Yeah. I definitely think, like, the short season has affected their writing a lot of all shows, not just.
Yeah, I was just about to say to bring it, if we were talking, bring it back to One Chicago. Yeah. I feel like the short season and, like, them, even if they had ideas for what the season looked like, they had to, like, kind of throw out a lot of it because then they didn't have enough time to do it or, like, they couldn't even work on it, even if they had ideas, you know, like they kind of just got thrown. Yeah. Everybody kind of got thrown into everything. And like, I feel like most times it's proven it's not working. I feel like 911 has proven to be the only one. I'm like, you moved to a new network. That was probably, you guys are benefiting from this. Otherwise, I feel like everyone else is like not benefiting from a short season.
I'd say Med is doing well.
Med is doing well. It's not my favorite Med season ever, but I feel like it's still doing better than most. Yeah,
it's up there. And then Fire, there's things I like and things I'm like, what is going on?
Because
like obviously up to episode 6 they were working towards Kara's exit
Yeah.
A lot. So that's fine. And I think that's also throwing them off because that was like half the season.
And then they're like, well, what do we do now for another six, seven episodes?
Exactly. And yeah. Like right now for me, like the big question mark was what happened with Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah. The way they wrote him off, it seems like that wasn't the plan from the beginning. Because I really thought they were going to do something like mental health thing with him and Carver.
Yeah. And it was like this the whole like behind the scene, which, you know, we'll never get an answer to. But it's like, oh,
it's
he
still trying
was.
to get an answer to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it was
I don't
his
feel like it's
choice.
very clear, like, at
Yeah,
all.
because, like, at first, like, okay, it was his choice. And then Rome is like, no, it wasn't my choice. So what happened?
Yeah, I hope we haven't made any plans yet, but I hope if we get to have Andrea on, like, in a couple weeks, that
something
we
to
can
ask,
ask
like,
her,
what the original
Oh, and
plan
that's
was.
one of the latest news, too, is that the Metroliner are
Leaving at the end of this year,
leaving.
yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which
so.
9 seasons is a long time, so.
Yeah, 9 seasons is a long time to be a showrunner. I think, and I don't think it would be as big of a deal if it wasn't, like, in the midst of just, like, I feel like all we get now is
Everybody's
exits.
leaving.
My God,
Exits,
it's
exits, exits, exits.
like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
if you get the list, like, even in the last year, it's
Yeah.
nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think a lot of it's like, it's the short, like the short term people that are leaving, but it's also we're getting some long term people because it's like they've been in the show for over a decade now.
Well, yeah.
So,
And like, it makes sense. It's just like when it, like,
all
three people,
happening at
like when
once.
everybody leaves at once, it's
Yeah.
like, okay.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it's that
When
thing,
in
too,
reality, it's
where,
normal.
I think what emphasizes it more is like, even the short term people, they're not staying. There hasn't been a whole lot of stability. Stability? Yeah. In the shows, like, quite, I mean, especially Fire, I feel like they, or maybe it's my perception is a bit skewed, but I feel like there's been a massive turnover.
I feel like
Yeah.
it's less than we, I feel like it, or I feel like I should say, I feel like it seems more than it probably actually is.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like Med honestly had way more than Fire has.
That's
Because, like,
true.
Fire's really only had, what, had Kara, Alberto,
And then
Rome.
Gibson
Well,
left, yeah,
Rome, yeah. But I
but
mean,
yeah, like he
yeah.
wasn't there the whole time.
And sometimes I'm like,
Yeah.
he was three episodes. Did he even
Yeah.
really like it?
That's
Yeah.
true.
I think we
We've had other.
anticipated him to be around longer, and that's why it has us more
Yeah.
upset.
Yeah.
But
I
really,
think
it's
what.
just
Yeah.
Kara and Rome, and then, or Kara, Alberto, and then
Alberto.
obviously you go back to Jesse Spencer. Like,
Yeah.
that's, you know, but like Med,
Well,
it was
Jimmy.
like. Yeah,
Jimmy.
Jimmy too. But like Med, I feel like Med had that one thing where within like eight episodes, it was like four or five people left or something. It was
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
okay, that's a lot. That's too much.
Speaking
Yeah.
of, I forgot where we left off, but do we know if Zola's coming back?
What?
Do we know if Zola is coming back on Med?
Don't know.
Still up in the air, yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't. I mean, she had her, I guess, her week off where they were like, oh, she's been suspended. But, like, you
But,
know.
like, you know, she's
No,
been
but they've not made a
suspended.
decision on whether she's fired or not. No.
Exactly. So, like, kind of, especially in, you know, in this period of what we're just talking about, like, it's still up in the air. I'm like, don't.
Yeah.
I, like, there's been, I've seen a lot of debate online about Zola. Personally, I love her.
Yeah, I like her.
I mean, like, you know, she didn't do the smartest thing, but.
I think she makes for a good television character.
Yeah, me too.
So.
And I think I could see some, like, we saw a little bit of growth, even though that last episode she was on was kind of a back
Yeah.
turner from that. But I feel like we could see her become less impulsive and. So I think
I
that's
hope
interesting.
I have a feeling she's not gone for good,
I hope
but
so. I hope so.
yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's the one Chicago trust issues that hits hard.
Yeah, they hit hard.
Like, this is like, this is what I want for the next season is, because thank God they've been renewed. Only for one season, like, we see the FBI is being renewed, or SVUs, I forgot, or like,
it was
One Orders.
FBI main ship or main show.
Yeah.
Got renewed for three. Mm-hmm. The others only got renewed for one.
Can we do that too? Because I can't go through that every year. Like, I know we've got good ratings and all, but like every time I'm like, I kind of want to. Can we know? Quick, fast, please.
At least we got renewed so far. The only one that's really, I feel like, still out in the air that I feel like most people watch is the rookie hasn't got renewed yet.
That's true.
So,
and like,
I feel like it will. I feel like that's a slam dunk, but.
Yeah,
it is weird that they haven't gotten renewed.
Yeah, it still got pretty good ratings.
Well, yeah, and they were talking about, like, at the TCAs in the winter about how, like, well it was doing on streaming for them. Like, ABC was literally out there being like, oh, yeah, it's, like, one of the most streamed shows on Hulu and blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, I feel like they're not sitting there and being like, oh, by the way, now we're going to cancel it.
Yeah, it might be more of a behind the scene, because they're getting, this is what, season six? Forgot.
Yes.
Yeah, so there might be like,
yeah, I feel like at this point it's just like contract stuff.
Exactly, like, because like they're long timers and there are like some contract negotiations to be redone and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess we ended up doing like a TV update. Yeah, just fine. It's not talking TV. But yeah, I guess.
So if you listen to the episode and you aren't following us on social media already, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads. We are BIT Lifeboat on Twitter/X. How long is that going on? We still call it Twitter.
Because it's always going to be Twitter.
Like a year,
nobody
right?
Actually calls it. The only time I ever see it actually referred to as X is when it's like Twitter, formerly known, or now X, formerly known as Twitter, in like a written article. Like, nobody actually calls it X.
Yep. And so, and then back in the lifeboat on Instagram, Threads, and Facebook. And then, Bryna, where can we find you?
So you guys can find me personally at BrynaK13 on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find Meet Us at Molly's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, which we never use, but it's there.
And then, rate and subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, Podbean. It helps our show grow and it helps people find us. Spread the word to any of your friends or family who are Timeless fans so they can reminisce and watch along with us for the first time. And then in our next episode, we'll be covering season 2, episode 6, titled The King of the Delta Blues, which seems like a fun episode. And then
it's a great episode.
Your thoughts. Yeah, there's like a lot of blues history not too far from where I grew up, because I grew up in like the Mississippi Delta region. And so I'm kind of excited about that.
It's always fun when you have like the tie to it.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
So we did a big project when I was in college with the Delta Cultural Center in Helena, Arkansas. So
I've already looked up on top of the episode, we actually talked to Anselm Richardson, who wrote the episode.
Yes.
So we'll have that interview coming out as well, which was such a fun interview. It was so good. It lasted for, like, we thought we'd be talking for half an hour. We ended up talking for an hour. I was half an hour late to work because of it, and that was like totally worth it. Honestly, I'm so mad I had to go to work, because could have kept on talking for another hour, I'm sure it would have worked.
Yep, but watch and email us your thoughts at backinlifeboatpod@gmail.com. And then shout out to our friend Manny, who's editing and producing the show with us, and to Bryna, who joined us for this episode.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me again. Yeah. This was, I love going back and coming back on, so.
Yeah.
It's such a good show. And if you're watching Chicago, go listen to Meet Us at Molly's, and go join us in the Patreon group, because it happened. There's so much stuff, including
utter chaos all the time.
Apparently, podcasts were made. So, is this the Meet Us at Molly's spinoff?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You're making a whole universe.
Exactly. Yes. We have our own universe. Exactly.
Yep. So. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.